Hey, Mama. Welcome to the Raw Mom Life podcast, where we talk about the rawness of motherhood and marriage, from mental health to habits and everything in between, all with vulnerable talk to allow you the space to know you're not the only one. My name is Amber Wilfert, mama to three girls, just doing my best every day, even if my best looks different every day. Get ready to laugh and sometimes cry, but always with a good cup of coffee. Let's go. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Raw Mom Life podcast. I have Erin Boma here with me today. Erin and I have known each other for a handful of years through direct sales. We sold different products, but that's how we had initially met. And Erin is a mama and a wife, and you work part-time or full-time outside the home?
Full-time.
That's what I thought. And then do you still sell Synergence?
Yeah, so I still do like Synergence super part-time. And to add to the chaos, I now also work for the dance studio where my daughter is dancing.
All right, so she is in the thick of it. So Erin, tell us more about you.
All right, hi guys. So I have been with my husband for, it'll be 21 years in March. And we have we'll have an 8-year-old just around the corner, and we have a 4-year-old boy. So yeah, just in the thick of it and doing school and dance and activities and work and living the life.
All right. So talk more then about how do you balance it all? Because it does feel there's no perfect balance, right? And some days feel like heavy with family stuff and other days feel heavy with work stuff. But how do you prioritize yourself? How do you balance life?
So super good question. And it's something that we have been very much working on recently. Now that I've added dance hours into my life, I make sure I take care of myself. I go to Al-Anon. I have a loved one who is currently sober and will be 2 years sober this summer. But for me, it's making my Al-Anon meetings, because if I don't make my Al-Anon meetings, I know I start to get a little crazy.
Tell us more about Al-Anon, because I have a friend whose husband was an alcoholic, but before then, I didn't know what Al-Anon was.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We have what's really cool. We've got something called an Al-Ano here in Crystal, where I live, and it's right by the house. And an Al-Ano is a building that holds AA and Al-Anon meetings kind of all day, every day. I mean, there's a schedule, but we have a building. So instead of your typical like community center, church basement, you know, meetings once a week, we have a building right here available to us that there's someone pretty much there 24/7. But Al-Anon is for the people who have been affected by someone else's drinking. And my life became very unmanageable trying to handle just everyday life, 2 small kids, and my loved one's drinking problem at the time. Luckily, my loved one kind of came to me and said they had a problem, and we started working through it. But Al-Anon is a saving grace of my sanity. And here's the thing. Everyone thinks when they walk into Al-Anon, it's how are you going to fix the drinker? It's nothing to do about the drinker. It's how do you fix you and how do you make your life manageable again?
Yeah, that's a wonderful resource. I love that.
Yep.
So sorry I interrupted, but
no, yeah, that's okay. We all joke, Al-Anon is our $1 therapy session every week because, you know, there's a lot of wisdom and resources within those rooms. And granted, you know, people need therapy for different reasons, and you can do therapy and Al-Anon and all the things, but we all joke that it's our $1 therapy session every week. So I'm doing that. I have kind of declared 2024 the year of me. Now that we're out of like early toddlerhood, I'm really working on working out again, making time to like make sure I get all of my doctor appointments in. Because as moms, we know that we always push ourselves to the back burners to make sure everyone else gets taken care of. I'm very lucky in the fact that my full-time job is, for the most part, pretty darn flexible. So I can, you know, hop out and go take a workout class at noon, or, you know, I can make doctor's appointments during the week and not have to worry about, you know, whatever. I've got the flexibility to do that within my schedule.
That's awesome. Good for you. I think,
yeah,
it's so hard when the kids are little to really give yourself the time that you need.
And in that phase of life, I think it's so important to do just little things to keep your sanity, whether it's letting them have more TV time so you can just be, or it's, I don't know, you just have to figure out what's good for you. Like even a 10-minute movement during the day could make such a
Right.
big difference. A change of scenery. When you get to that next phase, and I don't know if you felt this way, Erin, but I was always thinking I would be so sad to leave the baby and toddler phase, but I never want to go back to the baby and toddler phase, because when your kids get more independent and they can start doing some of those things themselves, when they wake up in the morning, they don't come right to your bed. I mean, there's just so many beautiful things about that next phase that you just kind of have to hang on when they're in that little phase. And obviously, there's so many beautiful things about being in that phase as well. But like, you can really start to focus on yourself so much more when they start to gain that independence, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I am very lucky in the fact that between my husband and I, we have siblings that are still having kids. I've got coworkers and friends that are still having kids. So I soak up the baby phase, and then it's like grandma status. Like, you get to suck up the baby phase and have all the snuggles and do all the things, and you're like, okay, bye. I'm going home and I get to have a full night's sleep. I'm not up in the middle of the night pumping, all of those things. So yeah, I think, there's a little mourning that goes along with it, because it's like, okay, no, this was the last kid. Like, this is the last time we're doing these things. And it took me a while to be okay that we were okay with two kids and that's what our family was going to look like. But now that we've got more babies kind of around us through other facets, that's where I get to soak up and be like the best auntie and have all the snuggles and do all the fun things. But yeah, to know that, my kids can get up, they'll turn on the TV, they'll find something to eat, all of those things right now is phenomenal.
Yeah, it is really great. And I don't mean to, like belittle that phase with toddlers and babies, because it is also very beautiful.
Yep.
But it feels like every phase has its ups and downs. When they're little and you're in the mud, like it just feels like you're hanging on by a thread some days, because literally everything your kids need, they depend on you. They depend on you to
Right.
wipe their butt and to put them to bed instead of just saying, go brush your teeth. Go to bed. And even if you have to repeat yourself a thousand times, go put your shoes on, right? Like when your kids get older, because my kids still, I feel like,
Yeah.
well, put your shoes on, right? At least I'm not having to put their shoes on for them, you know?
Right.
And
Yeah.
so it is a wonderful phase. It's just a lot harder because you are it for those kiddos.
Absolutely. It's still definitely the battle every morning of. You need to get dressed. You need to brush your teeth. We need to eat breakfast. Okay, now it's time to start putting on shoes. And yeah, I am definitely in that stage of like, how many more times am I going to repeat myself this morning before my head falls off? But yeah, you're right. I'm not physically doing the things. I'm just constantly reminding. So it makes it a little bit easier. Although some
For
days
sure.
it's like, can I just put your shoes on for you? Because then
Yeah.
we can get out the door.
For sure. It is easier for me to put your school lunch together than for waiting for you to do it so we can actually get out the door.
Correct. Yep.
Oh, yeah, relatable for sure. You said, you talked about how Al-Anon has been such a good community for you, and I think that's so important for moms, is to find that community. And do you have any, I'm sure you're kind of finding that within the dance studio too. And can you talk a little bit more about having those people? You talked about free therapy, and I think like when you find the right friends, they do kind of become like therapy for you because they get it, or they get you at least, or they hear you
Yeah.
and listen. And so can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure when I was trying to find like my home group at Al-Anon, and your home group is kind of like the one that you make sure you're at, weekly. I'm very lucky that I kind of fell into a couple groups, and so I usually make a couple meetings a week. But as I was really trying to like find my home, for me, it was also a matter of like, who's in the trenches with me? Because one of the groups, love them all dearly. It's Tuesday at 10 a.m. I'm like the youngest in there by like 30 years because everyone's retired because it's Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But in that, I was able to find some really good friends who, had small kids. We're kind of living that same battle. So I've made some really good connections through Al-Anon. Again, with dance, my daughter's been dancing at the studio now for this is year six. So I've got some really good connections with some of the moms that, we've been dancing with for the last handful of years. a lot of people talk about too, like, you know, your high school friends or your college friends. And for me, somebody described this a while back and it really made sense. Sometimes I feel like I'm that transitional friend. Like I'm put in someone's life for a reason and I'm there for a specific period of time, but like I don't have all these long-standing friends. But what came out of college for me was my husband and a good friend of his. We've become, all the wives have become really close. We don't see each other necessarily all the time, but we chat all the time. So I've always got them to rely on, which is really nice. You know, and we're starting, my daughter's in second grade, so we're starting to get kind of some of the school friends. You know, that really hasn't really solidified anything yet. And it's the hard piece too of like sometimes you have to reach out first, and that's like that weird adult interaction of like I need a friend and I don't know how to make them anymore because you know I'm not just like surrounded by people. But
You have to like friend date when you get
right,
to be a mom.
yeah, you know,
And
and
I
I
think
lucked out
it's okay to
too.
do that, right? Like, I think it's okay to just like reach out and say, like, I need a mom friend. Do you want to go have coffee? Because she's probably thinking the same thing and didn't have the courage to reach out,
Right,
you know?
yeah. And I lucked out with two of the women I work with at work. The three of us are like the three musketeers when we're at work. So, you know, so for like, especially when I was dealing with my loved one and they're drinking, like they were a huge support system for me. And so like I can lean on those two, you know, all the time, no matter what, because they've really walked the line with me in the last couple of years. So yeah, I mean, making mom friends is hard, but I think it's just knowing where and when to reach out. And like you said, I think, yeah, sometimes you just gotta do it because we're all sitting in this weird, like, I need someone who's in the trenches too. And yet it's like that weird, how do I do it? And so I think we just all need to do it more.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk more? I'm sure that you've had plenty of experience with boundaries and putting up boundaries around the people in your lives that maybe aren't healthy in the moment, or boundaries around, like, you have dance and you have work and now you're working, you know, you've got a lot going on. And whether that's boundaries around friendships or boundaries around family or boundaries around things that you guys are taking part of, what does that look like for you? And I know so many moms struggle with where do I say no and how do I put boundaries around friendships for me or for my kids, or how do you deal with that?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Boundaries can always change. They're not set in stone, they're not concrete, but boundaries need to be something that are beneficial to you in that moment. So if it's your literal health, it's your mental health, you know, you need to be able to set things up for you so that you know that you're in a good place. So like one of my boundaries is I do not, unless I'm like not feeling well, I don't miss my Wednesday Al-Anon meetings. So if that means my husband's got plans, then he knows that he has to find childcare that night. I've definitely found some boundaries lately with work because I was very much like available 24/7 to the point where it like wasn't healthy. And you know, people, when they are used to that, they contact you all the time, no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is. So what I started to do like with that is anything that comes in after, you know, work hours, so anything after 5 p.m. and some days it's even 4 because I've got to go get kids, I will handle it the next business day. And you know, if they've got a problem with that, then that's clearly their issue because I'm finding that I cannot be available for you 24/7 because then I'm not in a healthy place. So my boundary for work has become, you know, I will respond during business hours, and if that doesn't work for you, then I apologize that you're having a hard time with that, but I need my space.
Yeah, that's really good. I am not available for you 24 hours. And I really think we can apply that to literally everybody in our lives. Like,
Absolutely.
even when you have a nursing baby, like, there are things that your husband can take over for you. Or if you need
Absolutely.
help outside of the house, like, find somebody who can give you an hour so that you can take care of yourself to set up those boundaries. That's really good. I actually don't even have my work email or anything on my phone. And I have a job where I can do that. Like, nothing I is really an emergency with the job that I have,
Yeah.
but it makes it a little bit easier to keep those boundaries between work and home. And yeah, learning those boundaries is so important.
It is. And you know, they take time. And like I said, you know, I like to think of boundaries as like a chain link fence. You can see through them, It's not like this 8-foot concrete wall that you can't see through. And if you think about it, like, fence lines can change. It's hard. They're not great to move, but you can move them. You know, so depending on who that boundary is with, like, it's not always set in stone. Things can change because people change, you know, and our needs will change. So I like, you know, I like to think of them as a chain link fence because you can see through them, you can see over them, but it's still there. It's still that like concrete boundary that's there, but knowing that things can always change and move, I find is helpful too.
That's really good. I think that's really important for people. Like when I, you know, you talk about boundaries, like so many people are afraid to do it because it feels so permanent, but it doesn't have to be, because like you said, people change, circumstances change. So like in the season of life that we're in, we have boundaries around our weekends where we need to have 2 weekends where it's like, it's open. We are not scheduling family visits. We're not scheduling a bunch of other things so that we have time to get stuff done around the house. And that was a boundary we had to learn. I think that's a boundary that will eventually change because our kids will be more grown up and more, even more independent, or we'll be empty nesters. Right. And so setting boundaries can be hard. It's not fun always, but in the long run, it's so important for your own mental or physical health. We had to set a lot of boundaries around our schedule for our marriage to be healthy, but taking those like little steps, even sometimes toward those boundaries can be good. Like you said, after 5 o'clock, I'm not available. Mm-hmm. And if right now you're available 24/7, then just like slowly, gradually get back to, I'm not available after 5 o'clock. You don't have to do it. And you can, but you have to figure out what works for you.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's hard too, because depending on who you're putting the boundary up with and what it's for, it can be really hard. It can be really scary because you know that there's going to be pushback on the boundary that you set. But what that tells you is that boundary needed to be made if there's pushback. Yeah. And it's still hard, but that boundary is helping create a safe space for you and what you need. And, you know, you can empathize with that other person that they don't like the boundary, but that boundary is for you and your safe space and your mental health and taking care of you. And so it's hard to let go of others' feelings, but it's very much putting yourself first and taking care of your needs. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, then we're no good to anybody else.
For sure. And I think it sets such a good example for our kids. Like my kids know that when mom's in her office working out, you can come in and talk to me, but I'm not going to quit my workout for you. And they're at a stage where I could do that. But even when I've been working out for a lot of years, and they, even when they were little, they would come in and they would hang on all over me, but they knew mom was going to, they had to wait till mom was done with her workout to have a snack. Right. So even just those little things, it helps the kids see that mom is not a martyr. Mom doesn't have to be a martyr for the whole family. She can also take care of herself. And so when they are grown, they also are feeling more comfortable in setting those boundaries for themselves.
Absolutely. Yep.
What do you love most about motherhood?
Oh, I think the ever-changing days. My kids, my 4-year-old is in the stage where he's just like super lovey-dovey, and I absolutely love it. You know, so like he can be having a tantrum, can be super upset. He'll, you know, I give him a space. He does his thing. He calms down. And then it's the, I'm sorry, mommy. I love you. And then he's like giving me multiple kisses. So I don't know. There's just the beauty in the growth of both of them and the things that they're learning and the ways that they're reacting to the world and just learning in general, I think.
And there's so many moments when they're growing too, that you see life through their eyes and you're like, wow, I'm growing too, you know?
Absolutely.
They're growing up, but so am I. Like taking our kids to see the ocean last week, and like they've seen it before, but the first day we went, it was like, I don't know, 55 and cloudy. So not like crazy warm, but they were in heaven. Just like viewing that through their eyes made me feel so grateful. And you're right, we can get stuck in the crap of motherhood, but to be able to see the beauty in, yeah, my kid just had a major tantrum, but he also recognizes that apology can be healing, and love, like the love that he shares, like that can be so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Any other last minute things you want to share about motherhood?
I think, you know, it, as much as we still have those hard moments every day, like, you know, I dread a lot of school mornings because it's just the constant repetitiveness of like, okay, we gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. But you know, it's those glimpse of small things that they're seeing, and you know, and with age, the new things that they're experiencing, and just you know, I even when it's hard, I try to back up and just find like the glimmer, something that was really good today, something that like really shone through the day, with both of them, and sharing that with them too.
Yeah, for sure. It helps us to get through those really hard days, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Erin.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Raw Mom Life Podcast. If you love anything you heard today, share it with some family or a friend who might resonate with it as well. I love to hang out on Instagram, so come find me over there for some more laughs and maybe a few tears as well, but always a good cup of coffee. Mama, I appreciate you, and never forget, you are never alone.